Crab Feast. You know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you could trust that. Every Tuesday, you already knew though. Ryan Sickler, soccer star, JUCO. Above ground, cool goes, better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed. Go down low this week, last week. Here we go again, fuck the Crab Feast.
It's the job.
The Tuesday,
another Crab Feast for that ass. That is pitch touching. Right,
I mean,
there.
I had to take breaths, man. You might need to fucking reach out to like a choir or something.
Somebody just don't.
You might be missing.
I
your
might
call,
be that just in the corner, like, oh, I'm doing that shit the whole time.
I mean, did you circular breathe? Or what are you doing?
Somebody told me I recently they thought I had some respiratory problems, and I'm just like, I can touch pitches all day, girl.
You sure can.
It's good to see you, Jay Larson Comedy.
Good to see you, Ryan Sickler. JayLarsonComedy.com, Jay Larson Comedy on all social media. Nothing really going on. I'm going to be around. Ryan and I are going up to Petaluma, but I think you're going to mention that. And I'm in town at the store and other various places around. So if you're in L.A., please come on to a show. I would love to see you. Ryan.
Ryan Sickler on all social media, RyanSickler.com. Shout out to Topps. They're offering you the chance to create your own trading card just like the pros. All you have to do is go to Topps.com, upload your picture, and the cards will be delivered to your doorstep in 3 to 5 business days. Go to RyanSickler.com. Got some in-town dates, Comedy Store, Improv, Laugh Factory, Ice House, Dynasty Typewriter, which I'm very excited about. Congrats to Jamie Flam. As Jay mentioned, Petaluma Festival, that's Saturday, August 18th. We're doing a live Crab Feast podcast and a stand-up show later in the evening. And you can find out all that information over at thecrabfeast.com. You know what? You guys are tearing that Kentucky Derby shirt up. I mean, it's pretty stoked. I'm pretty stoked to see
one
you guys
week
out
left.
There.
1 week left.
Is that what it is? One week at
one
the end
week,
of July,
and then
they
done.
Ship, right?
31st. You can only order them up till the 31st. Is that correct? Yeah, the 31st will be the last day, and then a week or 10 days after that, they will ship after that. So go on. You have a week left to design your own or pick your own colors and pick your style and get part of the club. I can't wait to see what people design
I can't pick.
You know, whatever.
Make sure you subscribe and follow the Crab Feast on Facebook, on Twitter, on iTunes, on Laughable, on Spotify, and you'll get all that in from us.
All of it. I'll tell you, we're excited to have back this week Birdwell Beach Britches. I mean, I found out that we were going to get these guys as a sponsor, I thought it was one of the coolest things because they've been around for such a long time, and the summer is in full effect. And if you don't have gear right now, oh my God, get out there in style.
You wearing yours at the pool?
What pool? I don't have a pool.
You don't jump in when the kids go to lessons?
No.
You're not allowed to just tread over off to the side?
No, you don't get in the pool with the kids. I'm going to have to because River's been a pain. I'll wear my Birdwells then. That's the thing about this. People, when I've like worn them, will be like, dude, you got your Birdwells? I'm like, oh my God, you forget that like this brand has been around
everyone knows them. I know, wear mine now.
In 1961, Carrie Birdwell Mann transformed her small Southern California home into a sewing room and store, launching Birdwell and creating one of California's first surf shops. That's just insane. Birdwell Beach Britches look as good today as they did back then. With 57 years behind them, Birdwell Beach Britches are part of the fabric of golden age Southern California surf culture, just like the Beach Boys, hot rods, and skateboarding. Who wants to buy a new pair of shorts every season? I don't. Birdwell builds theirs to last. It's no joke. It's almost like parachute material, like thick, like sailing. You know what I mean? That's what it feels like. Because when I got them, I put them. I was like, these are the best. Birdwell's proprietary, almost unbreakable two-ply nylon fabric was originally inspired by the sails of boats, baby. Anchored at California's Newport Beach and can survive rock, scrapes, reef slashes, and tons of wear. Every pair of Burwell Beach breeches is individually inspected to ensure the highest quality and is covered by a lifetime guarantee.
That's awesome.
If a seam, stitch, or grommet breaks, you send it back and the factory will fix it. Here's the deal. To get 10% off your first Birdwell Beach Britches purchase with lifetime guarantee and free shipping over $99, go to birdwell.com and use discount code CRAB at checkout. That's birdwell.com, code CRAB for checkout. Pick up your first pair of birdies and see why they've been an American icon since 1961. Well, this guy's been a South Boston icon for some time, and we're excited to have him on here. Love him to death. You guys are going to. Ladies and gentlemen, first time on the Crab Feast.
First time.
Mr. Matty Fontana!
Matty Fontana!
Welcome to the Crab Feast.
To the Crab Feast.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Welcome, Matty Fontana.
Thank you.
What's up,
buddy? Thank you for being here today.
How are you?
The only guy ever to hit us up ahead of time, like, hey, you want a coffee?
Brought me some unsweetened tea, iced tea. Fucking love it. Thank you so much for that.
I was getting sleepy. I saw that text. I'm like, boom, and now I'm ready to roll, baby.
Well, it is a pleasure to have you here. You've come with quite a few stories that I can't wait to get into. I know Jay will as well. But before we do that, as you know, here on the Crab Feast, we're all about the comedians. So please, plug away.
You can find me on Instagram at MattyFontana13, on Twitter at MattyFontana13.
What's 13?
It's my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of decided to go with the unlucky number instead of away from it.
Mm-hmm.
And then my street art page is LuckyLefty_13 on Instagram.
Who was Lefty?
Me.
Oh, you're Lefty? That's your nickname?
Yeah.
That's my dad's nickname.
Well, not my nickname. I'm just left-handed.
Oh, okay.
He's got Lefty tattooed on his body, don't you?
Mm, on my right arm. That's the truth. Real estate was already taken on the left, man.
That's all right.
Well, thank you for being here, and thank you for coming in. I know. How do you guys know each other?
Well, we were talking about that just a second ago, because there's so many. I only know like a handful of comedians that I met outside of comedy, then became buds with, and that was, you were one of them. Mm-hmm. When we went in, you were bartending, and I rolled in with Kate. I'm positive my mom was there. I'm almost positive. We were taking her a play, a one-woman show over at the Geffen. Kate and I like to go to the Geffen, and my mother was this woman's one-woman show about surviving the Holocaust or something like that. And you were bartending, and just like from Jump Street, it was Boston heavy over here.
Yeah.
And my mother was like, this man is just, what an adorable, he's such a nice boy.
I wasn't even doing stand-up back then either.
Oh, you weren't?
I remember we were talking, I was I did a bunch of sketch
improv,
comedy.
Sketch, that's right.
And acting and stuff like that, but I was always in the gum on the shoe of Hollywood, like I could never get started. And I was busting someone's balls at the end of the bar, and you guys getting a kick out of it, and your mom was, I think she just liked that somebody away from home was like somebody back home.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And it was an Italian joint, and I remember because my mother sent back the meatballs because they were too well done.
She did like the crab kicks, though.
Yeah, man.
Those fucking things look like hush puppies. You know, the things she was eating look like chicken fucking nuggets.
Those were microwaved, I'm sure.
Oh, dude. They look like old Arthur Treacher's fucking hush puppies. Long John Silver hush puppies.
No fucking way. She was
eating marshmallows until you told me what she was eating.
Those were not crab cakes.
So that's when I met Maddie. And then, like, we just became buds.
But you told me not to do stand-up. You were like, stick with the sketch. And I hated it. Like, I
thought I told you to stick with acting. Because remember?
Well, it was the whole thing. And I've stuck with all of it. I've never deviated from any of it.
Jay likes to tell a lot of people.
Well, I used to have butt.
Josh Nelson just said some shit. What did I say to Josh?
You said, this is a great room, man, but you got to be better than that if you're going to be up here. Tell him, get a different host, you told
I told him.
Get
I a said, different no, host. I said, hey, man, this is a great room for a TV show. You can't host it. No, but I was saying to Maddie, like, because you had done like serious acting stuff before, weren't you? Or like, I just said that I just think that stand up is such a fucking long road.
It is.
I've always wanted to do stand up, but I never had the balls to do it.
Yeah.
And I used to have Bud Friedman sit at my bar all the time while he was waiting for his wife to come in, and he'd pop a bottle of cake bread Chardonnay all the time. And I would talk to him about stand up. He would tell me cool stories about like Andy Kaufman and shit. And I've always wanted to do it. I've always wanted to do it. And then I was just about to try it out and or thinking about trying it out. And then my dad had retired when he was like 65 years old. And he always wanted to play the fiddle, and he never did. And he started playing the fiddle at 65.
I love it.
And then he would go to recitals.
What is the fiddle? Is it a violin?
It's an Irish like form of the violin. You play.
Everybody, get the fuck! Rising my bow, rising my bow, damn it!
Is that what you do?
Yeah, is you rising a bow,
rising it.
Yeah,
rising.
Yeah, they got him thing. A country boy. It's that a line way. In the song.
And wait, does he still play?
Yeah, but when he first started, he would do recitals. So it would be 9-year-old, 6-year-old, 8-year-old, 65-year-old. And my whole family would go, my mom and my aunts would go and watch it.
Oh, my God. I just talked to my buddy today about the fact that like he's getting his master's right now, but he's like 42, and he's like, everyone else in there is younger. And I'm like, dude, kudos for you to like not like let that inhibit you. And your dad was like...
He was like, eat a dick society. I'm
rushing it.
I'm grabbing this thing. So I was like, if he can do that at 65 years old, yeah, I can start doing stand up at 36.
Yeah.
So I went and watched a show that a buddy of mine that I did sketch with at Room 5.
I love that room.
That was a great fucking room.
My buddy Dennis Hemphill, you guys know him.
Oh, yeah.
And Darren Capozzi were running a show, and I just went to watch. And I was like, oh, I kind of do that. And Dennis was like, we'll put you up next week. And I was like, nah, give me a month. Let me write like five
give
minutes.
Give me a month.
Yeah.
Like, well, it takes a while.
Yeah, of course.
And I didn't know how long it would, but it felt cool. It was like sort of easy at first to write 5 minutes.
Yeah, well, because you had 36 years of your life to like dwell, you know, rip from.
Yeah. And I went up. He put me on a show, and I went.
Did your
up.
Dad open for you?
My dad. He played out everybody. He played the comics all. On. He was like the bring up music.
Hilarious.
I'm
bringing them on and off. 2 minute lights for everybody. Action. Action.
Don't run the light. I gotta play my fucking fiddle.
Fucking using a candle.
Yeah. Don't cut into my time, goddammit.
Yeah. So. He gave me a spot, and he's like, all right, you're going up after that dude. And the dude goes, it was Brent Morin.
Oh, yeah.
And he takes 10 minutes and just absolutely levels.
Yeah.
And I had no idea who he was at the time. He's become a buddy of mine now, but I was like, what the fuck? So I got on stage, and I was nervous, and that girl, Nicole, she was also I've known Nicole Amy since acting class when I first moved here.
Yeah.
So she goes up, and she's telling dirty jokes about her pussy and liking black dudes. And I'm like,
I fucking love black dudes.
I was like, black dudes are good shit.
My material here.
Damn. So the first words out of my mouth when I got on stage, because I was terrified. I go, I had sex with a black girl once, and she had a huge pussy.
That's the first thing you ever said on stage
as a
stand-up
comedian. Like, that's the worst.
I don't even remember my first line ever, but I would if it was that.
Totally.
And everybody went, oh. And then there was this one, like, rednecky, like, 50-something-year-old dude at the bar and was just like, yeah, man. Like, he just screams out, starts
love
clapping.
There's your demo.
Just yeah, ate
like,
it.
Oh, dude,
ate it up. And then, I wound up doing pretty good. And then...
you dug out of that pussy?
Oh, man.
I just you know started what? That's saying, a funny like, bit, too. Shit. It's just taken the wrong way. But think of it like this. When I started, I was 24. Right? How old were you?
27.
27. All right. So you're a little older, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a little older.
I mean,
I'm the youngest
I
of the three of us.
I don't count my 3 or 4 months when I was 20.
Right. But even at 24, you're just willing to fucking be like, fuck it. You know what I mean? At 36, you've built up enough stuff in your... You know, they say you don't change as you get older.
No.
You're going to just start becoming more of who you are. You're not going to start being like, oh, yeah, I'll try new things. So at 36...
Not sure his dad.
Right. No. Well, that guy fucking, you know, when the fiddle's calling,
Matt,
like, you answer, baby.
This thing's just... It's
you should see him on St. Patty's Day, man. Just it up.
He's Irish step dancing, fiddling at the same time.
No.
I tell you, if I make it to 65... Bagpipes. I'm annoying everybody.
You are.
Like,
going
I'm still here too.
Panties flying.
I do want to do guitar. I think about that all the time. I'm like, maybe when I retire, I'll pick up guitar because
by then there'll be some app that'll teach you how to play it in 5 seconds, like Jimi Hendrix. You know, and then you could play it.
Or yeah, well, you know, whatever. Because I like the other. Reed has been wanting to play his ukulele. He's got a ukulele. My buddy made it. It's fucking gorgeous. And so he's been like wanting to play it. And I'm like,
homemade ukulele at 3 years old.
Four, yeah.
4 years
gorgeous.
Old.
Gorgeous.
That's awesome.
Open micers, they'll be jealous. Do you ever walk into, I don't know, when you guys first started out, did you ever walk into an open mic and see a ukulele and just leave?
No. I did one open mic show in the city, and then it was immediate bringer from there, a few for a little bit, and then I got into other shows.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But never open mic that I saw that.
I can't deal.
It's funny because I used to do this show that was a bringer show after an open mic at Amagi's. You remember Amagi's at Gower Gulch?
Gower Gulch. There was a dude there that loved that gag bit I did way early on. He would come up to me all the time and just gag in my face. He barely spoke English.
But I used to love when we'd be waiting for that show to get out, and you'd see the open micers coming out, and you would just see dudes rolling out with a keyboard, one guy rolling out with a fucking umbrella.
This isn't fucking amateur night at the Apollo. Yeah, this is an open mic for comedy. Just fucking get out of here.
Yeah.
I want to sing you a song. No, to one early on, and this dude started doing slam poetry, and I just
comedy open mic.
Yeah, and I was the guy after him. They pulled my name after him, and I just ripped him apart for like 3 minutes.
Yeah,
and then I did. Yeah, it's only a 3 minute mic, and I just did that 3 minutes on him, and then I did my own 3 minutes because I fucked that guy.
Yeah,
can I be honest?
Nope.
I've always wanted to do slam poetry. Just, I've always wanted to do spoken word poetry.
Are you
always
being serious?
Yeah.
Wait, in front of a live audience?
Fuck yeah. I think I could come up with something tight. You don't ever fucking fuck with it?
No.
You don't ever fuck with it?
Right? I don't even like the cadence. Down, I hate the cadence.
Dad, where were like you?
Exactly.
I was you.
My thoughts are a cloud.
Butterflies.
Under your seat, there's nothing.
No.
Feet.
You do that at home?
I used to drive around
and do that by yourself.
When they would do it on Deaf Poetry Jam, that's what it was, right?
Yeah.
I used to watch that shit. I'm like, yeah, man, I could fucking get down on this.
The drywall ain't so dry.
Like, you know what? Let me think about my bet here. But if I beat you in the home run derby, you might have to do an hour of slam poetry set to it.
An hour? All right,
30
crazy.
Minutes.
30 minutes is crazy. Five.
Five minutes of a slam poem?
Yeah.
In the OR.
No, you just got to keep doing it, and you have to do it in front.
I saw the improv is what I saw.
You have to do it
in
an unsuspecting audience.
I wouldn't give a
fuck. You just walk up, and you just have to do slam.
You're gonna get
some,
you know what's
going to
happen? What's going to happen is the audience will be like, holy fuck, dude, that's it. That shit was pretty tight.
Oh, well, let me think about it.
See an album.
How do we get... So that's basically how we met.
And then you
went against my advice, and you did stand up anyway.
And look where you're sitting.
Yeah, I'm in the Crab Feast.
And then one night, remember that one night you were like, hey, I'm at the show. You want to come do it? Remember?
A couple of times. I had a birthday show on Jay Davis's Paula thing one night, and I had a bunch of headliners booked, and you were one of them, but you couldn't make it because the kids, Reed was sick or something like that.
Yeah, and Kate was out of town.
Then there was another one, Pete Giovine's show that he's trying to build up, and I shot you a text.
Yeah, but there was this one night you hit me up. You were like on the west side, and you're like, hey, you should come do this show. Remember? And I went over it, and it was like this loud bar show. And I was like, fucking Maddie, what is this shit?
Free parking show?
Yeah, and I was like, fuck it. And I went up and had a blast.
Yeah.
You had a great set. It wasn't a place you would succeed. You know what I mean? It's a Pats bar, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was after a Pats game. Everybody shit-faced.
Yeah.
And fallen. Like, there was a dude... I saw around just telling everybody he's a comedian, but I'd never seen him do stand-up, and he just kept, like, just trying to add, like I was doing some hometown jokes and he was just trying to add to the shit. And I'm just like, God.
I remember that guy. He was chirping during my set too.
Mm-hmm.
Wasted.
Just fucking, like, he doesn't remember.
Well, let's get into some stuff. I know one I want to know right off the bat, yeah. But Rye is really good at, like, picking which way to go and where to start with. So, do you have anything you want to start with?
Yeah, I have.
Because number two, I just got to know. We're going to get to it anyway.
Used to have a bit anyway.
I know. So, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. This second one here, because I used to do a joke about him.
All right. So, when I first moved here, I was shit poor. Like, sleeping on the floor of a, like, $700 a month apartment in Los Feliz, and I used to take on all sorts of jobs.
Who were you living with?
By myself.
Oh, you? But what do you mean sleep on the floor? I mean, you just couldn't afford a bed?
No, okay. I had no furniture. Yeah. I had a TV on a Tupperware, like one of those Rubbermaid things.
Yeah.
And
but you bought a TV first.
I had it. I brought it out with me. I couldn't fit. Like
you drove here?
I drove here. Yeah.
How long did it take?
10 days. I spent a couple of days with friends in Vegas, but 10 days. Yeah.
All right.
And
I flew.
I did it in 5, out and back, and out again.
All three?
I've done it 3 times.
15 days total?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, out and back and 5.
Just 5 each time.
Gotcha. Yeah. Because you got to stay in hotels, right? Or did you have friends that you stayed at?
In Vegas, I had friends.
Everywhere else was hotels?
Everywhere else was hotels. That was a crusty trip across country.
I bet.
Do you want me to get into that, or do you want me to do...
No, the other one.
Yeah, all right. So I would save up, you know, $35-$40 every month to take myself to the Beverly Hills Hotel, to the cafe down in the basement.
Uh-huh.
And it got to a point where the lady behind the counter knew me. She knew what I wanted. Hot chocolate, waffle, covered in strawberries.
What made you, why was this your thing?
It was just, I needed to not be poor.
But why did you know the Beverly Hills Hotel cafe? Did you know that ahead of time? Because I've only been there one time.
I don't know how I discussed.
And I always wanted
to
go there. The Polo Lounge was something like that I'd heard of as a kid, and I always want to go there. And I've only been there one time, and I remember being like, "Oh man, this is cool."
It's not
but
the
I passed
Polo
that
Lounge.
Cafe.
Yeah, the cafe.
No, I know, I know the one. It's like a little counter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and the chairs are bolted to the ground.
Yeah,
and she gives me the same thing every time. It's a waffle covered in strawberries, and then unrecognizable with whipped cream. So it's just it looks like a pile of whipped cream and a hot chocolate.
Yeah.
So I go in this one day, and there's no seats except for one seat. And again, they're bolted to the ground, one seat at the counter. And I'm walking in, and I look out of the corner of my eye, and I see Byron Allen. And I'm like,
up next!
Coming up, a water-skiing squirrel, Vince the Sham Wow guy, and Tom Cruise. It's always so random.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Always so random. And so I'm like, ah, shit, it's Byron Allen. I look up, and he's talking to Seal.
Seal,
the musician.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, all right, man. And the seat's right next to him. And Seal is wearing like a $10 million leather jacket.
Uh-huh.
Like this thing looked like it came from like...
A seal.
It was like woolly mammoth skin or some shit.
Yeah.
Something you couldn't like made with dodo bird, you know, buttons.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, she sees me. She brings my thing over. And Seal's being a little bit animated when he's telling a story. She brings my, you know.
This is a once a month for you, right?
Yeah, and this is the thing. This
right,
is my
thing.
This
is your thing.
So Byron Allen's sitting there listening to Seal. Seal's like waving his arms around, telling the story to Byron Allen. And in the wave.
How fresh are you now?
I'm probably about 7 months in.
Okay. I mean, he's got Boston all over him at this point.
Yeah, I'm ready. So. So Seal's telling the story, and he like leans back, and he dips his elbow into my waffle.
Oh, hell no, Seal.
And I'm like, what the fuck? And Seal turns around, and he's like, hey, he's got that dumb accent, and he starts yelling at me. He's like, you got waffle, you got whipped cream all over my... And I'm like, I didn't get whipped cream on your jacket. You got whipped cream on you. You elbowed my waffle.
Yeah.
And I like the lady's like, oh, calm down. I was like, I'm not going to calm down. This motherfucker just elbowed my waffle, and he's blaming me, and he thinks I ruined his like fucking lambskin jacket, whatever the fuck he's wearing.
No, it's lambskin.
I don't know. Cheetah print on the inside. And then Byron Allen just kind of like got his head down. Because
he knows that Seal's a fuck?
He's a dick. Yeah. Seal's a dick.
All right.
So me and Seal kind of like just jaw at each other for a little bit.
I can't. I mean, this is embarrassing. You're not going to believe this right now.
Seal! Come here, man. Let's settle this once and for all, man.
Get the fuck in here, you bitch.
Don't walk away, man.
Fuck him. So the lady takes my waffle, brings it back over, still like gets his thing wiped off. He's sitting.
How much was really in there? Like, was he deep? Enough. So I mean, if you know,
if his elbow was a dick and the waffle was a pussy, he could have got it pregnant.
Okay,
he legit elbowed that shit. You could see plate.
Yeah.
So
plate. That's all the way through, yeah. Dude.
And,
That's a kill shot.
She kind of yeah, she's fucking Lee Harvey Oswald with the elbow, and she brings a new waffle over. Seal turns around. He's like, can you believe this shit to Byron Allen? And Byron Allen's like, dude, like, just gives him a look. He's Byron Allen. He's Seal. Of course, he's not going to be like, oh, you're fucking wrong, dude. But you could see in Byron Allen's face that he was wrong.
Fucking who's laughing now? This motherfucker owns the Weather Channel.
He sure does.
He's the shit, man. Byron Allen's sure low key.
He's the shit.
Byron Allen's low key the shit.
Low key.
So cut to about 12 years later. I'm an artist in a prominent gallery in LA, okay. And this photographer comes to town, and he's like, I have all these photos of celebrities holding a white rose. It's like 10,000 hands for peace, and I want all your artists to paint a celebrity. And I was like, cool. The curator of the gallery, the gallerist or whatever you call him, he sends me an email. He's like, you got to be here at 9 o'clock in the morning to pick your celebrity. I was like, well, I got so much shit going on. I'm going to swing by at 11 o'clock that night. Because he was there for...
That's like 13 hours. Yeah,
no, but I was, so I had no window.
That's a cable window right there you're giving me, man. Seriously.
So I get to the gallery, and he's like, yeah, dude, he just did this this solo show for like Alec Monopoly or something, one of those street artists. And he was just like, I only got one photo left. You're going to like it. You're going to love it. And it was Carrie Ann Moss. No, it was fucking Seal. And I was like, dude, I ain't painting Seal. I'm not doing it. He was like, what are you talking about? You have to paint one of the celebrities for this thing, and it's the only one left. I was like, let me tell you a story about Seal and a waffle. And I told him, God. He was like, all right. He called the photographer. It got to that point where he had to call the photographer. And
you weren't backing down?
No, I didn't pay.
You don't get like Alex Trebek? I'll do Alex Trebek.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I was just like, nah, fuck that guy. I ain't painting him.
And did you have to paint it just as like the photo?
No, we all had like different styles. Like you would paint a background around the photo. Mm-hmm. What I wound up doing is this guy took a lot of really cool photos of like third world countries and stuff like that. And like just odd stuff. So I was like, I'll paint two non-celebrities just to know, and I'll live paint at the event just so I don't have to paint Seal.
Well, that's just cool. Tell Seal I said that. Get that message to Seal.
Just relay this to Seal. You're a piece of shit. Like, I don't like Seal.
God, that fuck.
I used to do a joke about Seal, and then I tried forever to like get a short made of that where basically I get caught in an elevator. I had this joke where I get caught in an elevator with Seal. Mm-hmm. And we're stuck, and I'm just like, oh, what the fuck's going on? And then the elevator drops like a floor, and we're both kind of panicked, and I just start pressing all the buttons on the elevator, and Seal like panics. He's like, what the fuck are you doing? And I look at him and I go, we're never gonna survive unless we get a little crazy. And then like I wrote these expanded versions where like the doors open and there's all these firemen. It turns into like a fucking giant like video. And Seal and I are like dancing through the hall, never matriculated.
It didn't?
No, can you believe that didn't take off? Meanwhile, he's over here telling you not to do that. Somebody should have told you to put that short on.
When I was doing sketch.
That's one you just hold on to unless you actually have a connection to Seal. You just keep saving it.
Funny or Die was always trying to do celebrity videos. And I had a couple meetings and I told them that idea. And they were like, huh, let's. And then they reached out to Seal's manager, and Seal's manager really liked it. And then just.
Seal was probably put the fucking kibosh on the shit.
Well, I guess he had some incident over a waffle with somebody.
I don't know. I kind of heard Heidi Klum put the kibosh on. Ran all his decisions by.
Honestly, it was about to go through, and then Seal had some crepe incident with somebody.
Crepe incident. <waffle.
laughs> Wait, did you keep going there after that whole thing happened?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's.
For how long?
Probably to like 2-3 years.
Oh, really?
Monthly for 2-3 years, mm-hmm. And got the same thing every time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love
it. When was the last time you've been?
Probably about 6 months ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I love it. I like it. Mm. You park up the street, walk in. Yeah. Everybody knows you're poor because you walked up the driveway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Everybody's looking
There's
at you.
There's something about that damn... You know what it was? I think it was like... You ever see The Kid Stays in the Picture?
The... what's his ass?
The documentary, Robert Evans documentary?
Yeah.
Because his house was like... You could walk through the grounds of that hotel and get to his house.
It was on the same property?
I mean, that's the way they made it sound in the documentary.
Like cut out in the wall or some shit?
No, like, you know, like his yard abutted the property line or something like that.
Like the house above the...
That is officially...
The house
I'm
above
stop.
The
maybe
store?
Something like
stop
that.
Stop right there. I don't know how many episodes we've done.
Mm-hmm.
That is officially the only time the word abutted has ever been said on this motherfucking podcast. Hey, I guarantee
it abuts, baby. But that's like, and I don't know, man, something about that hotel. And then remember they got all that shit because they weren't down with their owner is like Egyptian.
The
and
Sultan
he was like,
of Brunei.
Yeah, he was like, fuck gay people. I don't know.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And in Beverly Hills?
Huge backlash. He wasn't. No, it wasn't like he came out and said it like about his employment there. It's just that's the stance he was taking in the world. Right. And everyone was like, oh, you're going to own the Beverly Hills Hotel and you're going to decide
deny
that like you're going to say
crowd.
Yeah. And then it's just like it was a huge backlash on that. And then like then that turned around. I don't know. Whatever. I haven't been there. I went that one time to the Polo Lounge and it was cool. But
my mom loves when they come to town. My mother likes to go get a lemonade at the pool. I love the Beverly Hills Hotel. Let's go to the Beverly. And my father's
sounds
like
she and Sue would get along great.
Yeah,
I think they would.
And you're the people at the Beverly Hills Hotel. Like, listen, you guys can stay here, but you gotta tell us guy Don backwards. I mean, people are being affected by.
He's on the diving board.
Just fucking go.
Yes. He's on the diving
two-stepping
board.
Two-stepping on that diving board. He's doing...
what is it's it? All wrapped up in plastic so just, it doesn't get wet.
Standing behind where you get the water. He's just playing.
What is it about parents that we think that they weren't real human beings before us?
You like, know, they didn't know shit.
What the fuck are you doing? Yeah. They're like... Fuck you, man. I've always wanted to play the fiddle. So
I'm drowning you motherfuckers out. Something I can put right up against
that.
My
he does that. He does that. I'm on the phone with my mother. He'll just like, I'll
I'm going to drum.
I'll call and he'll get off the phone and then I'll start talking to my mother and he'll go in the other room and start playing the fiddle.
He wants you to hear it too a little bit. Yeah.
Like, he hasn't gotten any better.
can he do a complete song or anything?
Yeah, he's all right. I mean, he's, you know.
Self-taught only?
No, he's got a Irish dude that teaches him.
He does. Come to the house, or does he go to the lessons?
He goes to the lessons.
Do they grab a beer afterwards or something like that?
By Guinness, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. My dad complains about how much the guy swears.
Really?
He's like, oh, he's always swearing. I'm like, dude.
That's... Dude that plays the fiddle's cussing up a storm. I love it. Teaching it.
Why are you complaining about that?
I'm looking at your list here, and you got a Don Rickles story, and I'm just, I would love to hear this. I'm such a Don Rickles fan.
All right. Again, restaurant where me and Jay met, Don and Bob Newhart, and what is his name? Tim Conway.
Holy shit. Came in together?
They were regulars. They'd come in all the time, and we would get the cast of MASH. We'd get, like...
Still?
Well, some of them are dead.
Yeah, they've turned
but I mean,
off.
I mean, do they still get together here?
It's now two times.
Yeah, they would come in.
I met Bob Newhart in November, and it was a fucking like he was
picture.
The nicest dude of all time.
He's amazing.
And I was like, hey man, I was a huge fan as a kid. Like Newhart was like I used to watch Newhart. Like I was saying to someone, the fact that he had that guy Larry who had a brother Daryl who had, and his other brother Daryl. To me, that's like alt comedy. That's like alt comedy in the most mainstream way of all time. That guy was like an alt comic in my eyes.
He was the first comic to sell out theaters.
Yeah.
Like nobody did theaters until him.
Well, then you also have Tim Conway who did characters on Carol Burnett, Dorf Unkle, all that sketch comedy character
stuff. Is he Dorf?
Stuff. Yeah, he's Dorf Unkle.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's him. And they would all, remember, they would all laugh too. They would all get caught up laughing at each other on the Carol Burnett show, like pissed, making each other die laughing. And then who'd you say the other one was, the other legend?
Don Rickles?
Yeah, Rickles, of course, the guy we're talking about.
Oh, my God.
I mean, come on.
So Don would come in with his wife and Newhart, his wife, Conway, his wife, and they'd sit in the back private room. And Don would walk by every time and be like, where's the bartender? He's like, keep him coming, keep him hot, or whatever. So some, you know, 1950s, like, snap your fingers type thing. And they'd go in the room and they'd drink a lot. But he'd always come out and say something smart. Like, he'd always come out and have something to say. He's like, where's the bartender? And I'd be like,
he'd say it to you?
Yeah. He would just be like, here, it's $20. Go buy yourself a hotel. Or something like that. Like, something like real, like, 1950s, like, oh, might hurt your feelings.
Yeah.
And I saw him come in one night, and I was like, I got to get this dude. So he goes in, he does his thing. They eat the dinner, they drink a lot, but never seemed like they drank a lot when they walked out. They were pros.
Yeah.
So he walked out this time, and he was just like, here's $20. Go. He slaps it on the bar, and he goes, go buy yourself a personality. I look at him, I slide the 20 back to him, and I goes, if it's anything like yours, I'm going to have to return it. Gave me, look.
Oh my!
He didn't laugh.
He just gave me this look, and he goes, "Remember this face, kid." And he smiled, and I was that face. How could I forget that breath? And they're all like, everybody that was with him started laughing, and he just gave me a look, and he like gave me a wink, and then walked out. And then I feel a hand on my shoulder, and I look over, and it's Newhart, and he's like, "Good job, kid. Nobody gets him like that."
Nice,
shut up. Right?
I was like, you got knighted.
Yeah.
Good. How about that, dude?
I got Listen, can I get that 20 back? Because I could use it,
man. If you could,
that's amazing.
That
yeah, I used to see him a lot. He'd come in. I did a bartender. One of these guys that lives up by the Playboy Mansion, Frank Mancuso. He's an old Hollywood.
I know that
producer.
Name. I know
yeah,
that name.
He's always like front and center at the Oscars and stuff. And he would have a bunch of us go to his house to cater things. And we did his 80th birthday party, and Rickles, I mean, they had Frank Sinatra's son singing the whole night. Rickles
Damn.
Was there. He grabbed me by my tie and just like,
did he remember you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he did.
He doesn't know me. He never knew my name,
right?
But he remembered my face, and he would just, he grabbed me by my tie and he goes, what do you do? And he's sitting next to his wife, and his wife's like, let go. And I'm just like, I'm sort of laughing, but I'm like, I'm kind of joking.
Yeah.
Kind of joking, dude. And I was like, I had just started doing stand-up. So I was like, I'm a comedian.
So you roasted him to his face before you started doing stand-up?
It was probably right around the same
okay,
time.
Okay, so this was like, that happened first, though, the thing at the bar, and then this
yeah.
night? Okay.
Yeah.
So that's why he was asking, what do you do? Because he remembered
he
from that
remembered
night.
You, yeah.
Could be. I don't know. And I was like, I'm a comedian. He goes, you ain't a fucking comedian.
Really?
He didn't say fucking. He just said, you ain't a comedian. And his wife said, stop it. Leave him alone.
He was mad, huh?
And he was like, bring me a Grey Goose if you can. He was like, he was nice, though. It was like one of those, like Pesci came in once and he slapped me in the face because I went and brought him his drink.
Wait, what? Yeah. Pesci smacked you?
Like, not like a bitch slap.
Yeah,
like,
he just like patted you like, hey.
He's like, he was standing at the bar and then he went to his table. So I went grabbed the drink that he had at the bar and I brought it to his table. And he goes, hey, come here. And he like sort of put his hand on me to come down. And he goes, he's like, why are you bringing me my drink? Why isn't that way to bring me my drink? I was like, because he's busy and he didn't know who to go to. He's like, okay.
You stay behind that fucking bar.
What's the matter with you?
That's an interesting fucking thing to do, to call out, you know?
Yeah, like...
Why are you bringing that shit over here?
Those dudes, I've dealt with celebrities.
They're very particular.
Hotel Bel Air, but they get paranoid. They wonder why things. They always want to know...
Oh, like, you think that... I feel like he
maybe
was...
you put something in it or something?
No, they get paranoid, like, what, like, who, like, why are you doing this? Why you they don't want to be treated special.
I see.
Oh, I thought he was giving you a little tip, like, you're the fucking bartender.
Yeah,
you don't go running doing the waiter's
a
job.
Goodfellas shit. Fucking, like, yeah, there's a guy for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, no? It's super weird. I don't know. Like, I don't know the under, you know, the subtext of the slap, but... yeah. I don't know where that
Do you have any more? Do you have any other like celebrity Hollywood run-ins? It sounds like you fucking like are a magnet to it.
Well, I was a cabana boy at Hotel Bel Air back in 2003.
All right, I hear the title cabana. What does a cabana boy actually do?
It's like a pool server,
but you don't do massages.
Nah.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I'm fucking asking. I don't know. I'm thinking Flamingo Kid, like fucking Matt Dillon shit. So
by the
way, do you do?
In 2003? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Till when?
2003. I just did it for the summer.
Oh, okay. Because my mom came out to visit me. I moved here in 2000. She came out to visit the first time in 2006. she really cares. But and I took her for lunch at the Hotel Bel Air, which is fucking amazing.
Was.
And
renovated it.
Oh,
sucks now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, we were like waiting for valet. These people had rented a car and come there, but there was this rattling in their car the whole time. So they called the cops, and they found a gun. Someone had like hit a gun
in their car,
in like the dash, like down behind, like somehow in there, like it was a hidden gun.
Like maybe in the they air found conditioning it. Area.
Yeah. And they called the cops, and the cops came, and they're like, you know, it was evidence. My mother's like, "Ooh, this! Can you believe this is happening?" Like, shit like that. That hotel is amazing. For anyone out there, I never knew anything about it. A lot of people don't even know about it in L.A. Everything's a cabana or a bungalow, right? There's no
attached, but yeah.
But there's no second story, third, nothing. It's like in the woods.
Yeah, you don't know. If you drive up Stone Canyon Road off of Sunset, you would never, and you didn't know it was there, you'd drive right by it.
Yeah.
You'd never know it's there. There's a swan out front that used to chase me every fucking morning. It's 6 o'clock, drive me nuts.
So what's a cabana? You're getting these cabanas set for everybody?
Well, it's basically a pool server. They call it a cabana boy, but there's really no cabanas there. There's just
there are no cabanas.
No, there's just tables with umbrellas and chairs, all and right. then there's lounges and stuff like that. And this one
got that
day,
in my pool.
Hmm?
I got that in my pool.
Nice. Sounds like a nice set of bamboo.
That's not bamboo.
How fucking dope would that be if you had like if you're living like an apartment complex with a pool and you got a son and you're like, listen, you want to make some money this summer? You set up every fucking weekend out by the pool. You make grilled cheeses or whatever.
Towel service.
And just bring over people and out of your apartment, just running drinks.
Running everything, yeah.
That'd be fucking tight. Amazing.
Yeah.
I'd do it. I'd do it now.
You could dumb waiter it down from the mother. Cable it. All right, so you're at the Bel Air or Hotel Bel Air.
Yeah.
Is it different? Is there a Bel Air hotel and is that different?
Wouldn't know. I have no idea. It's right next to the Bel Air Country Club, which has nothing to do with the story. So I'm working the pool one day and this lady checks in. She gets to her room and people were on high alert for this woman.
Why? Is she a pain in the ass or something?
She's tough, like really tough. And she's also someone who spends a lot of money there. So
As you were spending at the Beverly Hills Hotel?
A couple of bucks more. Not too much more, but a couple of bucks more. So she, like, I see this dude. Her room is right next to the pool. And I see this dude from room service walking in, and he's terrified. And I'm like, you all right, man? And he's just like, oh, man, she's here. And I was like, all right, dude, I didn't know. I just started working there. So this guy goes to the room. He comes back. He's got food on him. And he's like,
on him?
He's like, looks like, yeah, on him. Like, he's got the tray. He's like,
the seal in there?
It must be.
Seals in there.
It was sealed the waiter, and he was complaining about it.
Totally.
So I was like, what happened? She's like, oh, she didn't like the food or whatever. I'm like, oh, come on, man. So,
threw it at him or shoved
it? She threw it at him. She was nuts.
Is she a celebrity?
Yeah.
Can you say who it is?
I'll get to it.
All right.
I want to make
Candace Bergen, dude.
Yeah, right?
What if Candy it is? A young Candy, the gams on that broad. So the next day, the dude comes down again from room service. He's got the thing. And I was like, give it to me. He's like, no, man, it's my job. I got to do it. I was like, no, give it to me. Then I go over and knock on the door. I get the tray. The door's open. I open the door. And I'm just like, it's room service. She's like, who are you? And I was like, Matt, I'm at the pool. If you need anything, come ask me. And I was like, here's your food. She was like, what are you doing? Why isn't the room service guy? I was like, it's fine. Just come ask me for whatever.
She's Joe Pesci. Yeah, there's a guy for that.
Seriously.
She's just upset, you know? Because she's there for Gregory Peck's funeral. So she's
torn up a little.
She's in a different headspace.
Yeah.
You know, something's going on inside. So the next day,
But this is her spot, though, also.
This is all has been her spot right. for a long
gotcha.
Time.
Gotcha. I worked at a hotel, and we had those people, too. Like, they come in and dump money.
I mean, there were people that lived at this hotel yeah. for, like, 6 months, and the rooms were, like, $750 a night.
Yeah.
So the people living there, like, the money there is stupid.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous. Like, kind of not money that, like, I could never imagine even having, even if I won the lottery. And, so the next day, that night's my birthday. I go out with some friends, have some drinks. 6:30 next morning, I'm hungover. I'm pushing towels, those big metal things, towels yeah. out to the pool, and it's all slate stone around the pool, so it's making all sorts of noise. She opens the door. She's like, "Matthew, what's all that racket?" And I go, I push the thing aside and go, "Go back to bed. Everything's fine. Go back to bed.
Go back to bed."
Like she's your mom.
Yeah. And she did one of those old Hollywood like, right. thing and shut the door. And then like 3 hours later, she comes walking out of her room looking like $1 million, sunglasses, dog. And she's like, "Good morning, Matthew. How are you?" And I'm just like,
"Really?" Oh, took right. a little bit good. Of bark back, huh? Mm-hmm.
So we kind of developed a little friendship. Like she would, you know, she wanted her dog at the pool. You weren't allowed to. And it's a little dog. So I would like wrap the dog up in towels and stuff and, you know, get her shit that she wanted. And one day I was walking around the pool. And I was flirting with all the trophy wives that are out there, you know, trying to make some extra cash, maybe mm-hmm. get a in one of the rooms.
Non-cabanas.
And one of them non-cabanas. Yeah. And I make my way around to her and I was like, "Can I get you anything?" And she'd been watching me. She goes, she lowers her sunglasses and she goes, "Matthew, you remind me of a young Cary Grant the way you swagger around the pool."
Wow.
And then she put her sunglasses back up. I was like, "Holy shit." Because I grew up on old movies. Like I'd go to my grandma's house and watch like old, like Angels with Dirty Faces is one of my favorite movies. Not a Cary Grant movie, but North by Northwest.
I love that movie.
Good yeah. movie, bad it. Example.
So I was like thanks can I get she's like, "No, I'm fine." And I go in the back where we keep all the stuff and I call my mom and I was like, "Ma, you're never gonna believe this." She's like, "What?" I was like, "Lauren Bacall just told me I remind wow. her of Cary Grant." And my mother was like, "Oh my God,
I knew it." I've always said that.
Who's Lauren Bacall?
She's
Hollywood royalty. Well, back in the day,
Humphrey Bogart's
yeah.
Oh, really? Notorious. She's in tons of movies. Yeah, she was like
wow.
She was the equivalent to I would say Angelina Jolie back in the day.
Oh,
shit. And she looked great when she was all done up and came out. Huh?
Nah.
Yeah.
Nah.
No, you said she looked like $1 million.
I'm not for a person that's 80.
Well, yeah, I'm saying, but still, you look good.
Yeah, she. I'd have to towel her off.
Look better than Gregory Peck. I'll tell you that, bud.
That's right.
You would have to. You would have to towel her off.
Well, I'd go over and I'd wrap her in a towel when she got out of the pool. She expected, like a lot of people wanted like that kind of
service.
Yeah. Service.
Well, you know what though? If you have that kind of money and you're that age, fuck going into a retirement home or some community. If you still can get around a little bit, why not go to a hotel like that? And
but what, my
so, still walking dogs and shit. She's still all right. Huh?
She was like a regular.
She's still alive.
What are you talking about? Walking dogs? So, she left her hotel room and brought the dog out to the. What he makes it sound like she's got a
you
job.
Think she had it under her arm.
She's got like seven dogs.
I just
on
mean
a leash.
Some people she's in their 80s are in wheelchairs. She's fucking up on 2 feet walking a dog.
She's
doing
on
all right.
Task Rabbit app.
Unless she was holding it up under here like a purse,
just getting dog walking.
Little
jobs.
Clutch purse. You yeah. might have one of these dogs. Little clutch purse.
But yeah, that was like one of the greatest compliments I ever got in my life.
That is a great one.
It was a cool. It was a really
you ever throw
cool
that at casting,
huh?
Like in an audition, like just a heads up, Lauren Bacall thinks I'm a young
my swagger.
Yeah, getting cast for the lovable loser. You're like, I could go for the lead guy.
Just want to let you know.
Just want to let you know, Lauren Bacall fucking.
Can we? Do you want to go to 1J?
No, go for it.
I just would love to hear this New Kids on the Block story. I don't even know if anyone's ever had a New Kids on the Block story. It's a lot of firsts here tonight, deep into the podcast.
Growing up in Boston, like in this, I grew up in Southie, and Dorchester's right next to Southie. And a couple of buddies went to high school with some Dorchester kids, so we started hanging out with some Dorchester kids. Excuse me. And we'd hang out in this gas station till all hours of the night because my buddy worked there. And we'd sit in some... Then all the new kids are from Dorchester.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's they're all from that one town?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Which back then, too, Dorchester was not...
No.
Not a good town.
And I wouldn't want to... Like, there's a few of the new kids that you probably don't want to be in a dark alley with. Just
and listen,
kids.
I'm not saying shit, but Joey.
Joey.
The Wahlberg.
He'll scream. I wouldn't fuck with a Wahlberg.
Yeah, no.
No, they're crazy. From what I hear, anyways, I don't know. I heard they were pretty crazy people.
Good burger, bad people.
You want to know something that fucking broke my fucking heart? Last night, I'm driving to the store, and I'm going through Sunset Plaza. And there's a fucking Wahlburgers in that spot where that old little Italian spot used
it really
to be
is.
Right Cafe, in Sunset Plaza.
Cafe
and
Med.
Ugh. I don't give a fuck if you put a Wahlburgers down Hollywood, down the strip, but you just put that fucking thing, that chain burger spot, right in Sunset Plaza where I love Sunset Plaza.
It's
something
pure,
I love.
Yeah,
it's something I love about it. And it's not like I ever go there.
The strip's done. Like, Le Dome's gone. Like, those old places that you would see in, like, those old movies, like, American Gigolo.
Yeah.
And stuff, like, those old Hollywood-based movies, they're all gone. Mel's is still there, but Mel's is kind of gross.
But Mel's is Mel's.
You know? Yeah, it's what it is.
Landmark,
it's like,
you know.
Yeah, you're drunk, you go in there for a BLT or something.
Anyway, go ahead. You were saying your favorite new kid was Joey. Go ahead.
Don't.
Right.
Jordan Knight, dude, was one of the greatest dancers of all fucking time, and I'll put that up against anyone. I remember one year in the MTV Music Awards, I recorded it, and he fucking came out wearing a hooded sweatshirt and a mask, and goddamn it, Jordan Knight could dance, baby.
Solo?
Yeah.
Solo Jordan?
It was like, they did a song, and then they had him, like, do something. I remember I watched that thing over and fucking over. I loved it, dude.
I was at a party at the South Boston Yacht Club, which is basically a place for poor people to store their ship boats.
It's like a VFW, I guess. Huh?
Yeah, it's basically a VFW. I love it down there, though. It's kind of beautiful now.
Yeah.
But I was at a party for somebody's birthday or whatever, and Jordan Knight was there. He bought me a beer. He's a cool dude.
Yeah.
We used to go to the back of this gas station, though, and they had a couple of two of the new kids' phone numbers. And it was very far past them being new kids anymore. Like, not...
Yeah. Old kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
The old kids on the
young
block.
Young men on the block.
This is after they had, like, peaked, or, like, they had just... They were still crushing.
Well, it was, like, I would say it was late 90s, early 2000s.
Okay, yeah.
Stay fair, Dora.
Is that real?
No, I'm just saying that that's when those bands get into that phase.
Pre-cruise
state fairs and shit.
Oh, state fair.
Yeah, yeah. State fair tour.
Doing the Hollywood, West Hollywood Halloween night.
Real quick.
Yeah.
You got New Edition coming out of fucking Boston, too.
Oh, New
Edition's
right
before.
I don't know that Jordan Knight's any better than anybody in New Edition dancing.
I mean, I don't know.
I'll put him up against Bobby Brown right now.
Oh, well,
Bobby Brown,
Brown
right now.
Come on,
no,
dog.
Bobby Brown right now.
Too good, too good, too good to go solo.
He might tip over.
Roy Wood Jr. had a posted something on Instagram the other day, and it was something about I don't know. It wasn't Ralph Tresvant. He posted something, and I commented, "You need a man, not just any man, warm and sensitive. That's what I can give." And he just wrote back like, "Dude, I would love to see your CD collection." And I was like, Ralph Tresvant, Johnny Gill, new edition. But like, New Kids was like, that was the the one on the download. You didn't tell like your girlfriends.
But
all...
New Edition was first.
Yeah. You have LSG, Levert Sweat and Gill. Late 90s.
Gerald LaVert?
Yeah, LaVert, Sweat, and Gill came out
Sweat
with it.
And Johnny Gill?
I didn't know they had a super
LSG.
Group.
I didn't know that either. I mean, I remember Rub You the Right Way, and then that was it.
You gotta
get
go
down with that.
You gotta make a Pandora channel on that shit.
But New Kids for me was like, I remember hanging out with like this girl and a bunch of our friends, Liza and DeCiani, and all the girls wanted to watch New Kids special. I was like, we don't want to watch New Kids, put it on.
I think it's with like everybody back home.
I'm older because
like
all my younger cousins, like they had the posters on their wall.
Yeah,
and
giant
all
buttons.
That shit.
Every girl.
I mean, I had Color Me Bad, but they were all.
I was. Dude.
Mi amor. Did you like the English one or the Spanish one?
I mean, that dude with the lines in his head and those eyebrows for days.
The kid that looked like Kenny G's son.
Oh, Spanish exactly Kenny G. Looks like Lenny G. Lenny G. There was one more thing. Oh, so in high school, I went to Strawberry Records out in Burlington with my boy David George and Josephine Piscuccio because Mark Wahlberg, Marky Mark, was there with the Funky Bunch giving autographs. And Josephine's older sister, Diana, was dating him or something like that.
You got to be a stud to shake the Funky Bunch. You know what I mean? Like, you got to be a stud.
Sorry, guys. I'm fucking
you got to be a stud to shake the Funky Bunch off your career and still be, and then open a Wahlburgers on fucking Sunset.
You're damn right.
Be a primary investor in the Wahlburgers on Sunset.
All right, you're like, so look, it's going to be a 20-year PR trip here, but we're going to get there, Marky. And Marky Mark. You shook that and the Funky Bunch.
And one more thing, and then we'll get back. Remember when he came out with Jenny was a high school
cheerleader. Oh, The Wild Side?
That song was fucking dope.
That's right.
It was all true stories.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah. Came prom time, everybody was in line.
All the fellas singing Nickel and Dime.
And he was dropping his underwear and
wanted
shit.
Wanted to be a chemical engineer.
Yeah, what a body. He got it. What a body.
Yeah, can you feel it, baby? I can too.
He shook that
I used to DL from the front of the school bus to my friend in the back of the bus. They go, yeah. And he go, can you feel it, baby? And I go, I can too.
It's amazing.
All right, New Kids. These two guys have some phone numbers.
These guys got these phone numbers. We're all just, you know.
Were you drinking in high school?
Not a lot. I didn't drink until later.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of weed going on. I didn't smoke a lot of weed either. There's a lot of experimenting. Other people, I've never done really any drugs in my life, but there's a lot of experimenting going on, a little bit of drinking, you know. But yeah, this is always during the week on like a Wednesday, and everybody was kind of sober and just, you know, doing their thing. Yeah. And going to the back of this gas station, they had this phone that didn't like have it was a blocked number.
Yeah.
So we go.
You couldn't star 69 it?
Yeah. It was great because it had a bunch of different lines on it. So we'd call Danny Wood.
Danny Wood.
And
that poor guy was not blessed with good looks.
Which one was
Danny?
He's the one that looked like face. The ape.
Oh, God.
Yeah, he was not a good dude.
Exactly who you're talking
about.
But
I feel like, would he beat the fuck out of you?
I don't know, man. Oh, okay. I've never seen him in real life. Like, okay, I've never gone to a concert or anything. And they'd call, and it was always the same thing. And it would be like, he'd be like, hello? It would be like 11:30 at night, and he'd be like, hello? And he'd be like, what's up, motherfucker? He'd be like, who is this? He'd be like, apologize right now.
For what? For please don't go, girl, man. That's a terrible fucker's life.
For stop it, girl. No, just apologize. What the fuck? Who is this? Just to fucking apologize right now. He'd be like, ah, fuck you, man, and hang up. And then we'd call back. And someone would be like, yeah, it's, I forget who is, if it was his girlfriend or his wife or something like that. Be like, is so-and-so there? And he'd be like, nah, he ain't home. Who's this? It's like, don't worry about it. I'll call back in 5 minutes. Bye. Just constantly, like, over and over and over again calling these dudes until, like, they would just they wouldn't pick up the phone, or they'd pick up the phone and just start screaming.
Just to get in their fucking girl because they were the new kid?
Him and who else?
John Knight.
Oh, yeah. Jordan's brother?
Yeah. The one that everybody thought was gay. I thought that story was a lot funnier when I when I wrote it down, but I just realized that it was not that funny.
You know what's funny is, I don't know what it is with guys in Boston trying to find, I think it's like, I mean, you were Boston, I was outside of Boston, but anytime there was like someone that reached celebrity that was even close to you, you wanted to find some kind of connection, because my buddy used to try and prank Peter McNeely. You remember Peter McNeely?
Of course I remember Peter
when
McNeely.
He like fucking got to fight Tyson. Anyway, he got his phone
what
number.
Was he, the hurricane?
We did that too.
The hurricane.
Hurricane, that's it.
My friends were all fighters, so someone had his number, and we used to call and be like, hey, Peter. He'd be like, who's this? And we'd be like, we're the biggest fans. We'd start like yelling everything over each other into the phone.
We got his fucking answering machine, and it was, oh,
nah, dude.
And him doing it. You reached the hurricane, Peter McNeely. My boy Ry Young, that was his thing. He's the one who got his number. Because I think that back then it was just in the phone book. You know what I mean? He was like, that guy
I just watched that fight not even a month ago. It popped up on a feed, like a Tyson knockout, and it was him talking shit. Like,
I mean, that was a Vine
video. He was really going to do something, and Tyson just whooped his ass.
In like less than 30 seconds.
I don't even think he broke a sweat. Peter McNeil.
The cocoon of horror. I'm going to wrap him up in my cocoon of horror.
Is that what he was saying?
He would say that in a press conference.
Was he from Medford?
Medfield, I think.
No, he was from...
Was it Medford?
I think he was from Medford.
Yeah. All right. I don't know. I just... What?
God.
What did it last? Do you remember, like, 13 seconds?
For me growing up, and you... I mean, you... Rye used to wrestle, and you have a lot of boxing knowledge. But, like, do you remember when it used to be... If you heard somebody was a Golden Glove boxer, they'd register their hands.
That guy's
a Golden Glove boxer. Yeah. Look, you don't ever hear anyone say that shit anymore. Like, well, no. That guy's a Golden Glove. What the fuck was that?
I think it was all wrong. That's what I think it was.
What do you mean?
I think I've heard that a bunch, and I've never really knew if it was true, but I would have to say it probably is not true.
With right? their hands are lethal weapons?
Yeah, because they're Dom trained and professional.
Andy Griffith show?
That's right, dude.
These are lethal weapons.
What else we got here? Oh, how have you almost drowned 3 times? And where?
When I was 3, I can't swim.
Listen, first of all, every kid's almost drowned at three.
How have you almost drowned 3 times? I can't swim, he said.
All right. We'll give you that.
I fell into an above ground pool and
how do you fall into one?
I climbed up it and fell in it.
I just walked. I wanted to see what was
like, was it like a deck off the house that went to the above ground pool?
No, there was it was separate. There was a ladder. Little deck on the above, and I was like on it with this little like AstroTurf type rug.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And I went up there. I just was curious as to what was going on in the pool. You know, as a little kid, probably 4 years old.
Was anyone in the pool?
Nobody was around. And I fell in the pool. And I was in there for, you know, not that long. So the guy,
what'd you do?
My mom's. I just was like trying to.
How long were you in?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know. It was definitely like maybe 35, 40 seconds tops.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I was going to say.
That's tops. And the
But it's not.
That's a long
first
time.
It is, but it almost isn't. You know what I mean? Because you can hold your breath for a while, but you can start choking real quick at that age. But they say drowning is like one of the easiest things that can happen because it's silent. No one's hearing anyone fucking underwater. And you're never going to see them in an above ground pool.
No, hell
you're not
no.
looking down.
No.
No. Well, I'm just like probably arms coming up above the water, splashing. My mom's friend's husband comes over, jumps in, pulls me out. And, you know, you get kind of terrified.
Yeah.
You know, the water by that point. And I was in this program. It was like run by teenagers. It was called Fun in the Sun.
That already sounds like a bad idea.
It's terrible. I mean, there was like 15-year-olds taking us on field trips with like a bus driver and like maybe a 22-year-old supervising like, you know, 5 or 6 15-year-olds. And we go to Sunset Beach, Sunset Lake.
Where's that?
I don't know. I forget. It's out in the suburbs somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just walking. I'm like maybe up to my knees on this rock. And I'm walking. And then it's just a drop off. And I was just like, sank.
At 15?
No, I was like probably, this is the second time I almost drowned. I was like, and I go down. And this dude, Pat Jones.
So you're like 6 or 7, something like that?
Yeah. And then...
Remember this one?
This one, yeah. I remember even opening my eyes and seeing all the like shitty brown water and the stuff, and then someone pulling me out. And then when I was 50, you remember Water Country?
Yeah,
take
Water
the plunge,
Country.
Ride the wave, have some fun, spend
it's
the day.
A water park,
yeah, up in New Hampshire. Me and my butt. I'm probably 18 at this point now. Well, I'm basically a man.
I mean, way too old not to know how
legally,
to swim.
Yeah, a man.
Yeah.
So we're all there, and we're all going down the water slides, and we're having fun or whatever. And everybody's like, let's go in the wave pool. Let's go in the wave pool. And there wasn't any waves. I was like, cool, let's do it. I go in the wave pool, And all of a sudden, it starts getting. Yeah. You hear that thing revving up? That like little alarm thing goes off?
Yeah, hustle out to the back real quick.
Yeah, I'm like, oh man, I gotta go. And all the waves just start getting really big and they're crashing over me. And I'm like, fucking.
Crash. Just piss filled chlorine waves.
Yeah. Oh, it's just like pounded, getting pounded by pissy waves. And like, I'm grabbing at everything because I can't, I'm panicking. All these past experiences of drowning, I'm panicking. I grab my friend by the head and I pull him down. I push him under and I just grab onto the first thing that I could that was floating. And I look up and there's a 7-year-old girl.
See ya.
Holding on to this thing. And I just look at her and I'm just like, I'm sorry. She goes, ma, 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 ma. And I just like let go and I fucking just went in and I got out and like
hold.
Every single friend.
First of all, he's in a wave pool and he's talking like he's out at sea.
Yeah, I know. Like,
it's like
fucking,
the tide's taking him. Like,
it was nuts.
If this shit passes, it's over for him.
I was terrified.
Can you swim now?
I can swim in like a pool. Like the ocean. Nah, I'm not. I don't fuck with the ocean. Unless I'm out off like jumping off a boat or something. Where there's no waves.
Oh, right.
The undertow here in Santa Monica, forget it.
It's been it has been getting stronger. I feel like that undertow and riptides and currents and shit are getting stronger out there.
Yeah, I mean, you grow up in the city, no pools, no nothing. Some people knew how to swim because they were good to swim.
That's a good point. I never thought. I mean, I didn't learn to swim till late, like 10 or something like that. Before I took lessons.
Yeah.
but those undercurrents last, not this January, a January before. Ree was 2, about to turn 3, and we like going to the beach in the wintertime, just like going down by the water, and Kate's sitting up in like sand with River, and I'm down with Reed, and I got like my pants rolled up to my knees, I got a heavy coat on, a hat, a coffee, Reed's got his pants up. Our kids, fuck, I don't know about your, with Stella, but like, my kids love cold water. They don't give a shit.
She doesn't give a shit. That's the way we used to be. Yeah. I just said this yesterday.
They just
don't
give a shit.
When we were kids, we swam in late. We didn't give a fuck what it was. Our lips would be blue. We'd be like, we don't want to get out of the water.
We were in New York a couple years ago at a lake, and Reed had goosebumps and was shivering. I'm like, dude, let's go get out. And he's like, no, Dad. So they don't care, right? So Reed's running down to the water, and we're digging the water, you know? And then I'm standing there, and the water comes by my feet and then pulls back, you know, that undertow. And I was like, oh, shit, that's moving pretty good, that undertow. And I was like, real quick, I just assessed the situation. I'm like, all right, where is he? How far is the water? How far could it pull him? Do I have enough time to react? All this stuff. And I'm like, I just do all the math. I'm like, all right, worst case scenario. even the worst case, he's not going to disappear or drown, right? The next wave, he chased all the way down. Undertow grabs him. Pulls him down and rolls him like twice, like rolls him. I go over, grab him by an arm, pull him out, bring him back. And I'm like, look at him like, whoa, buddy, you just got rolled. And he's looking at me like, yeah. And then Kate, she comes down, like leaves River. Right. She's down and she's like taking his shirt off. And then she looks at me. She goes, why are you still holding your coffee? Just like, and I'm like, he's fine. Like he didn't cry. He wasn't scared, nothing. And then she's like, I'm going to take him back right now and get him changed. And we're going to go home. I'm like, all right. I'm like, I'll get River. So I go up, I get River. She goes back. And there's like a boardwalk that comes out to the sand. And like, that's where the bench was. And I pack everything up. I get to the bench and she's like, he doesn't want to go home. He doesn't even want to get changed. He wants to go back and play. And I go, of course he does.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's a monster.
That's awesome.
But he can't swim.
Yeah. He lives by the ocean.
What's,
3 times.
Anyway, I mean, again, another story that wasn't as funny as I thought it would be.
How about the Uber?
Oh, Jay likes this story.
I mean, it's pretty dope.
It's not, again, it's not a hysterical story, but
I'm being consistent here on the back end. Little Jay Larson, you're right there.
When I was at work at the bar, this dude sits down and he's just like, hey, like, make it small talk. He's like, I helped develop this app. I don't know what part of development he was on. He was like, it's a ride sharing app where you get picked up in a black car, like a, you know, or SUV. And you pay less than a taxi. And I was like, get the fuck out of here. And he was like, no, yeah, it's called Uber.
How long ago was this?
It's like 4 or 5 years ago. Right. He's like, you should try it. I'm giving you my code. It give you like $30 off. So you can ride for free for $30. And you'll get your own code. So what you do with your code is you share it with your friends. And I was like, all right. So I go to the app.
And this is like ground floor Uber right yeah. here.
Nobody had it.
Right.
Nobody had it. So I go to the app store on Apple. And I look at some of the reviews. And I'm like, all right, that seems legit. So I downloaded it, plugged his thing in, got the free $30. But I had mine. And I gave it to a few friends. And then I was just like, you know what? Why don't I just give this to the world?
But what so wait, okay, go ahead.
I went to the app store again and went to the reviews, and I was just like, Uber's unbelievable, 5 stars, Uber's incredible, use this code and get $10 off your first ride. And I opened my email the next day, and so-and-so decided to start using Uber. So-and-so started to start using Uber. Cool, I'll accrue in money.
So he would get, I don't know if you said this, but every time someone used his code, he would get... Like pyramid scheme, you would get like a credit, a $10 credit.
Oh, no shit. So you're posting at the beginning of all this, so all those people are using that code?
On iTunes. He's giving 5-star reviews. Fuck no Uber, shit. Fuck the crap
yeah,
piece.
Right?
And he's getting $10 a
every
credit.
Time.
So it would get, I mean, it because...
And they never caught on and never stopped that or anything?
Well, what happened was, even though it was on there, people don't generally read the reviews, so you'd get like about $50. Then you'd have to go post again and get another $50. So I kept riding for free, like doing this and that. And then one day I woke up. I had just gone home to Boston, and I was like, ah, man, this probably isn't the best thing to be doing. So, but I want to get home from the airport when I get back to LA. So let me post this one more time. So I post it, and the next morning I wake up, and my email is just, I look at my thing. And there's about $4,000 worth of Uber credit.
Damn, what happened?
People probably shared it.
They
and
just
like,
started catching
and
on
so
all of
so many
a sudden.
More people were using it.
Well, what happened? So I was just like, oh, that's great. I come back to LA. I'm using it. My debit card expires that you have to plug into the Uber. But I try to call an Uber and it wouldn't let me. And then they sent me an email saying, you're suspended. And I was like, for what? And they were like, you shared the Uber code on a site that you don't own. And they sent me an email. A coupon website stole my Uber code and put it on their website. So then I got like, so bang, I got like $4,000 in credit. A year later, I'm suspended. I was driving Lyft, no big deal. I mean, I was riding right. Lyft.
Suspended,
no
like he right. works there.
Yeah. I was riding Lyft, no big deal. I get an email from Uber. And they're like, welcome back. Your suspension's been lifted. Enjoy driving Uber. I went back to my account.
They left it.
They left it.
Did they?
Yeah. So for the next, you know, up until pretty much, I don't know, like 4 months ago.
How many years are we talking?
About 3 or 4 years.
You had Uber for free for that
think
long?
About it. 4 Gs? You know how many times you can ride?
Shit.
Six,
good for you.
$6
dude.
Rides from my house to the comedy store or to the improv. Yeah. I don't go anywhere. I go downtown for 12 bucks.
Damn.
Working that scam.
That's
son.
Tight, dude.
It's not even like a scam. The guy, you know, you just, you know.
I didn't know any better. Who reads the terms of use?
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
nobody.
Me.
Nobody reads those. And I explained that to them, and they were just like.
Well, tell him then how you started working for Groupon after that.
Well.
That's our girl, Tiffany Haddish.
I know. You know what's funny? Like. This is like the problem with us having friends that are like, you know, musicians, writers, actors. I took Reed to the movies. We took the kids to the movies the other day.
Girls trip.
Yep. And in the previews, literally 4 friends were, you know, in the damn previews right. of the movies. Then the guy who wrote all the music for The Incredibles, that's Jason's buddy. I'm like,
oh,
that's
not really?
Jason's friend. Yeah.
Oh, that's a great movie.
Michael Cicchino. And that dude's fucking... does everything, you know, all this stuff. So I'm driving with Reed in the car the other day, and that song, the theme song from Friday Night Lights, that whatever that band is, it's awesome. Reed liked the song. He's like, oh, I like this song. I'm like, me too. And I go, you know Rory? And he goes, wrote this song?
Yeah, right.
And I go, no, it was his wedding song. But like, he just is going to assume that like people are just writing right. every single thing around right. him. I'm like, nah, dude.
Everybody, dad knows everybody that does why? Everything.
What else? Rent a kid in child labor force in South Boston.
What is
that?
He,
well, I mean, look at him already taking a breath. I have a feeling this is probably the least funny one of these.
It's kind of hilarious. This one, to me, just thinking about it, back in the old, like back in the late 80s, early 90s, if you walked into a business in Southie, there was a kid like behind the cash register.
Yeah.
There, a 15-year-old or 16-year-old was a bank teller.
Yeah.
You go to a...
That's right.
It was, and there was this program in Southie. I remember I signed up for it when I was like 9 or 10. It was called Rent a Kid. You could rent a kid to come to your house and do shit. Like, I was installing this lady's air conditioner.
At how old?
Like 9 or 10 years old.
And your parents weren't with you?
They encouraged us to do it. No.
To go to a stranger's home and fix their AC.
Yeah, we'd go with my brother. Like, me and my brother would go and push it, like, or shovel.
Yeah.
Or, like, go grocery shopping for somebody. It was like a bunch of children doing, I mentioned before, TaskRabbit, were doing, like, odd jobs for people. Lifeguards. The lifeguards at the beach, because Southie's on the ocean.
You didn't take that job, right?
No shit.
No, fucking right.
You could whistle up there from that top ladder. Like,
dude. Someone help. Yeah. Run into a payphone to call 911. there was 14-year-old lifeguards. And then they had this thing called the Boston Youth Cleanup Corps, where you would sign, and it's run by the city.
Yeah.
We called it red shirts because you get a red t-shirt, and it was in the summer, and you would, I had to clean out the projects. You're going into projects and cleaning out, like where do they evict somebody from the projects? You're cleaning out the apartment.
Oh, yeah.
I remember.
fuck that.
I walked in, and there was just roaches everywhere one day, and I just taped the top of two cans of Raid, and I just threw them into the apartment and slammed the door shut. And then the dude that lived in the apartment next door came running out. He's like, motherfucker, all those roaches are coming into my apartment. And I was like, man, I didn't know it would do that.
Oh, no shit.
Roach grenades.
Nah. Jesus.
I was a red shirt supervisor. at 16 years old. Telling 13, 14, 15-year-olds to, like, I was the supervisor at Columbia Park. So I had a giant, like, probably, it was about a mile and a half around the park.
Yeah.
So I'm supervising these kids to clean the park, go to the projects across from the park, clean those projects, and then clean the streets around the park, too. They'd give us a thing that we had to do every day, like what needed to be
done. Checklist and shit.
Yeah. And, like, I'm not telling kids that are a year younger than me what to do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they'd come and they'd find me asleep on a pile of fucking trash bags.
Yeah, I believe it.
I'd send kids to Blockbuster Video and I'd be like, if you get me this DVD. Because we were a bunch of thieves, too. So you go to Blockbuster and be like, hey, grab me fucking, I don't know, whatever was around back then.
Die Hard?
Let me get Goodfellas and I'll let you go home early.
Well, you were probably like, if you can get a Streetcar Named Desire and Breakfast at Tiffany's.
And yeah. But give me It's a Wonderful Life.
It was a way different time back. I mean, you know, everywhere there was crazy stuff that you would just do. That not crazy, just like it was a different world. It was I don't know if it was safer or we just weren't hip to certain things.
There was a lot more trust back then.
Yeah,
I think I was working at a gas station pumping gas when I was 15, and I would like tell the people to pull up so they couldn't see the price on the pump. They'd be like, "Put 30 in," and I'd put 20 in. And I'd be like, all right, $30, man. They'd drive, and they'd be like, you know how to get to such and such? And I would be like, it would be like maybe 10 miles south, and I'd point north, and I'd be like, yeah, you go up here and you take a left. I give them wrong directions.
I used to give people wrong directions. Shit. If you fucking ask the kid, if you're an adult and you're dumb enough to ask a 12-year-old kid for directions in the neighborhood, you deserve wherever the fuck they tell you to go. We used to tell them to go all the wrong. Yep. You just want to head straight up this way for about 3 or 4 miles, nowhere near where they're going. Like, that's what you get.
Yeah.
Dude, I was just back home, you know, 2 weeks ago on vacation, and we were like, spent some time in the Cape and then up in Gloucester. And one day, I don't know what I had to go to the store to get. I'm like, I got to go out and. The kids were napping. I'm like, I'm going to go out and get something. Kate was like, all right. Oh, I need a gas for the car. I need to fill the car up. And so I'm just like, I'm not going to look for a gas station on my phone. I'm just going to drive and I'm going to find a damn gas station. And I find a gas station. It's full service and it's two 15, 16-year-old kids working the gas station, and I was like, this is the fucking dopest shit. And they're sitting there complaining about the last car. And the guy's like, he's like, do you believe this guy? And the other kid who's pumping my gas, he's got the thing in, leaning on my car and just being like, I know, man, these guys. And I walk over, and because I just want to stretch my legs and like take this whole spot in because it's just like so different from everything here. Yeah, so throwback. I go, hey, man, you need a card? This dude doesn't break conversation from his boy and just reaches back, takes it from me, and continues as he's leaning on my ride.
He's
and
a
I'm like, you're the dopest fucking kids around right here, making money. You know they're gonna.
I see you. You get to have a positive. Like you think that's a positive. I look at those kids and I'm like, you piece of shit.
Oh, the kid was dope. You know they're working till 7. They're getting cash. They're making money.
Skimming that register.
I turn.
Eat whatever the fuck's in that. Yeah.
I turned around. Drove back right there on the side of the road, little farm stand. I'm like, yep, stopping at the farm stand. I only had like $3 on me. I bought like a peach.
I was going to say, give me a peach.
And I ate it. I fucking love peaches.
I could eat a peach for hours.
That's going to be a giant peach, dude.
It's from the movie The Face-Off. Peaches. I could eat a peach for hours.
From The Face-Off?
With John Travolta and Nick Cage.
So they switch faces.
Yeah. You go, peaches. I could eat a peach for hours. It's the creepiest thing.
You know, was that Travolta or was that Cage?
It was Cage being Travolta.
Pretty specific.
Yeah. Mm. Is that the impression you just did?
Well, it's not. I used to do a lot of impersonations before. I don't call them impressions for some reason.
Impersonations?
Impersonations.
Who's your best?
Shit. I'm drawing a blank right now.
Donnie Wahlberg.
It's Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
Hey, baby, I'm here for you. We just lost $40 worth of pharmaceuticals.
You know, I did a benefit for after the Boston Marathon bombing. I hosted it. A bunch of us put it on, like all of us from Stoneham, because there were like a lot of people from Stoneham, or three people that got affected severely by the bombings. And so I helped, and I said that I came out after like two comics, and I was like, guys, this is a special treat. You know, this is a benefit
for
Boston Marathon bombing, and I'm so excited to have him out. One of Boston's favorites, Mark Wahlberg. Everybody, a place goes.
There were screams, literal screams,
dude,
from women in the audience
grabbing their phones.
Were going nuts.
I brought out Brady Matthews.
Oh, and they were
doing his
so
Mark Wahlberg.
Trust me when I tell you, the excitement they gave off, it was equal in disappointment when they saw him.
And he was great. You know, he does
There were screams like, ah, like the Beatles were hitting the fucking stage. It was nuts.
And they were so let down. And I'm like,
they were, man.
And
hilarious.
I go, Mark, so great to have you. He's like, yeah, what's going on? You know, he's like, I got a breath and shit. And the plan at the time was to have Daniel Van Kirk, who does a great Wahlberg, and have them both come on. Like, who's this fucking guy trying to be like me? But I couldn't get Dan, so I just went with. But they were fucking. Some people were pissed. I love that.
It was awesome. Well, look, man, we're at that time. This has been a lot of fun. Thank you for coming on and sharing your fucking stories here.
No, man, thank you for having me. I had a blast.
This is great. Will you one more time with your social media, whatever you'd like to promote?
Maddie Fontana 13 on Instagram and Twitter, at Lucky Lefty 13 at Lucky Lefty _13 for the street art on Instagram.
Was there a Lucky Lefty 13 already taken?
What for?
Did you need the underscore?
Unbelievable.
Who the fuck is Lucky Lefty 13
doing that?
I don't know. Somebody.
I don't know, man.
There's another artist named Matt Fontana from Canada too, and he's a bald dude with a gray beard.
Really?
I'm kind of fucked in the
dealing with
scene.
That guy. Yeah.
That's it.
Awesome, man. Well, this is great, dude. Thank you so much for coming on.
It was fun to be here. Thanks. It was great to see what you guys do.
Straight up. Thank you, Maddie.
Yeah.
As always, jlarsoncomedy.com, jlarsoncomedy, all social media.
RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all social media. We'll talk to y'all next Tuesday.